Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 253, part 1, Attention. Today is Friday, August 3rd, 2012.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Titled Attention. I should say to the radio audience, please don't pay attention. And then, of course, by saying that, I now have their full and undivided attention. I could probably read from the book of Numbers and they'd stay awake. Tonight we'll minister about a miracle of the raising of Jairus' daughter. It comes out of Mark 5 and 36, but Jesus paid no attention to what they said. Jesus paid no attention to what they said. See, that takes a power to pay no attention to what they said. How magnificent. I mean, it took a lot of courage to do that. It showed a daring faith. But as you read about Jesus, you'll see that he did this over and over and over again. Because don't you know, there was always voices shouting for his attention. And so he had to many times turn a deaf ear. A man called me the other day and asked, said, Pastor Paul, do you know what someone said about you? No, and I really don't care, I said. See, really, it's none of my business what people say or think about me. That's none of my business. And it's none of your business what people say and think about you. That's their business. Is that right? Is it going to affect you anyway? Not really, unless you let it. Does it really affect you? And sometimes even what you think people might say or do. Should that have any adverse effect upon you? No. But Jesus paid no attention to what they said. They called him the devil. Beelzebub. Whoremonger. Drunk. Winebibber. And I think then this is one of the very secrets of his victorious life, because his life, you see, wasn't based on people's opinions. And in the end, I come up just as Don was saying, mentioning about, you know, you mentioned the name of Jesus, that causes a reaction. But I do believe that is a secret of his very victorious life, that people's opinions had no effect on him, none whatsoever. Because, see, he was called to do a certain job. And to that end, he did go. For instance, some said, you must be a go-getter. You got to go out and get it. And so they probably sat around telling war stories about how they went out and did this and that. But Jesus paid no attention. He declared, rather, the meek shall inherit the earth. Just the opposite of what people think. Then many said, the sword is the pathway to power. Arm yourself to the teeth. And right now, that's exactly what the world is doing. Arm yourself to the teeth so you don't lose any teeth. Get ready. But then Jesus said, those that live by the sword shall perish by it. Right now, in this age of tremendous fear and trauma in people's lives, they're turning to the sword. And there were those who warned him earnestly against the cross, but Jesus paid no attention. No attention to what they said. They probably, in great detail, explained the torture of the cross. Oh, how people love to create fear. But he paid no attention. He accepted the cross in faith that, lifted up by it, he would draw all men unto himself. The Bible says if you won't bear a cross, then you can't wear a crown. And so Jesus had become an expert in the fine art of paying no attention. And so I think then this story will relate tonight. I think it will furnish a striking example of this. Here is a very desperate man called Jairus. And he has come to Jesus with a pressing request. And he falls at Jesus' feet. Look, he says, my daughter is very, very ill. Death is close. But if you will hurry and come and lay your hand upon her, she'll make it. Will you come? Will you please come? And Jesus can't resist this pathetic appeal. And so at once he turns and goes towards the house of suffering. He's always going where suffering is. I see Jairus probably walking ahead and stumbling and running, sort of like a faithful dog leading someone to a wounded master. Stop and go back and run ahead again and saying thank you over and over and over again. But there, the Bible says, comes an interruption. Jesus stops to deal with a needy woman who has touched him in the crowd. Someone's touched me. And he, oh, so leisurely, goes about finding out who touched me. I can see this father almost frantic with fear. Oh, no. Jairus says, I was first. Couldn't she have waited? She's had this condition for years. You know, sometimes we think that we're the only ones. I think we must learn the art of paying no attention to ourselves and allowing the Lord to go about as he's on his way to answering our prayer. And there's a time involved. Let him go ahead and do what he's going to do in due season. But he's probably saying in his heart, come on, Lord. Maybe he's even saying it through his teeth. Having, I would say, a hard time containing his anger. How come? Why don't you do it now? Why don't you just keep on? You started to answer this prayer. Why don't you go ahead and do it? But Jesus comments, someone touched me. I can see Jairus now rolling his eyes. She could have waited, but oh no! See, it's now or never with my child. And what's your child tonight? What's your prayer tonight? What prayer do you have that you want answered? And then what he fears actually happens. Right after they start off towards Jairus' house, again a messenger comes running with a very devastating report. Oh, how some people love, delight, smack their lips, if you will, in delight at telling devastating news. I mean, they live for it. Guess what? Have you ever run into a person like that? Do you know what I heard? Have you heard yet? Did you hear the latest? It seems that some would rather tell bad news than no news at all. Lord knows I hear enough of it down here. People call and they got news on this person and that person and oh my. Yet we are still plagued by these road runners. Beep, beep. And they're running all over the place. That's why you have to get into the art of paying no attention. Isn't there a song, I don't get no satisfaction? Don't give them no satisfaction. Don't pay any attention. Go about what you're going to do. Don't pay any attention. It's an art, isn't it? It definitely is an art. And Jesus had the grace to go about and do this and pay no attention and go on. Stop up his ears to that kind of conversation. And yet there are people that beat a path from one church to the next with news. And of course then there are curious people who always prime them by saying, what's new? I think there are those you know who would almost be willing to die themselves if they would be privileged to announce their own funerals. News, flash. I'm dying. My funeral will be at 1 o'clock. I am survived by 2 sisters, 2 brothers, a mom and a dad, a pet canary. I love roses, and I would appreciate it if you would be on time. See you all there, okay? They just love to pass on news. But anyway, thy daughter is dead, they announce, brutally. Why trouble the master any further? Pastor, this is a dead issue. Why bother God about it anymore? Why go on? Why go any further with the thing? I remember some 5.5 years ago someone saying that to me. And I suppose you pastors, you that write in or call, going through your little thing. Need to hear a message like this. Because someone will come along and say, why trouble God anymore about this? Just give up, lay on the ground, and drop dead. And so at this report, the father loses all hope, and his hope dies. His face then becomes wet with tears. And the crowd then stands in sympathetic silence. And too late, we hear Jairus whisper to himself. Perhaps even the light from the woman who has just been healed, as she probably feels her healing, has brought and was bought at too great a price. She probably loses all of her joy and starts to lose her healing on it. And I suppose then by now the news hound is getting a story about this healing for a return trip story. See, they always got to pick up some news wherever that they may go. Okay, now what's going on here? Right in the middle of this traumatic thing, void of all feeling, void of all compassion, they're going for the next tidbit. What's going on here? Why all these people? And who's this old lady swinging them old bloody rags around, saying, hallelujah, I'm healed. But anyway, there was one present upon whom this fatal and final news has no effect whatsoever, and that is the master. His expression is the same. His eyes are still calm. He isn't in the least ruffled. His voice is still courageous. And he acts in every way as if he had never heard the messenger of woe and despair. That's where we need to be at. Do not hear the messenger of woe and of despair. I'll bet that threw old Hang Face for a loop. Don't hear it. Don't pay any attention. Sometimes not even to yourself. Well, if it can be that I don't have to drink this cup, but let your will be done, Father. But notice, he talks to Jairus, but so that Jesus will hear. Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? Have you ever had someone talk to you, but for someone else's benefit? Have you? I mean, a lot was said in that newsy little sentence, like, she's dead. Do you actually think this man can save her? Do you think he is the Son of God? Come on, don't bother to trouble this man any further. A lot was said in that little bit there. See, you can say a whole lot by just saying a little bit. Sometimes it's so great to keep our mouths shut. And that's another thing we have a hard time doing. And so then Jesus turns the tables and listen to what he says. He speaks to Jairus, and doom news gets the benefit also. And so Jairus here is the conductor. He's the sounding board to bounce off, ricochet off onto this news hound. Jesus then turns to the brokenhearted father with this word to quiet his confidence. Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Don't pay attention. I'm on my way. I've started to answer this prayer. Consider it done. Pay no attention, only believe. I haven't taken you this far to let you go. My promise will be fulfilled. Do not be afraid. No, he didn't apologize and say, I'm sorry, I never should have stopped and healed the lady with the issue of blood. If I only would have known, Jairus, that she was going to hide and it would take all that time to find her, I wouldn't have even bothered. I'm so sorry. No, he turns and he walks towards Jairus' house. But be sure of one thing, old news hound is headed back home. He's nowhere in sight. And he's headed back home with incorrect news. See, sometimes people that are trying to get the front page story first give incorrect news. I remember years ago when they put it in the paper that Dewey won the election, Truman loses. They put it out too early. Do you remember that? Of course not. I'll be that old here. Come on, let's go, Jesus commands. And he never stopped until that house was one of laughing and of joy. First the suffering, then the joy. Oh, how sweet the victory is. How sweet it is. Remember that old some program? What is it? Honeymooners. How sweet it is. The victory is so sweet when you have to suffer for it a little bit. Whew. It's worth the wait. Jesus won because he refused to pay attention to the prophets of doom. But there are people like that yet today. You must prove everything to them. And sometimes even if it looks like their prophecy of doom isn't working out, they try and cause it to work out. Are you hearing this? They try to cause a defeat. They try to cause dissension just so that their prophecy will work out. Even unto death to prove a point. Now I hope, Pastor, you that I'm talking to on the radio, that you're listening to this. I'm not saying it so you'll get into a melancholy mood. Or a woe is me mood. I'm just telling you the way it is. People is mean. Now, I know that's incorrect English, but I got your attention. No vision. Defeated by sight even before they see it. And so I think this story has a word for us. When we set out on a high quest, we too may count on meeting with the prophets of disaster. Any time that you set out on a high quest and God has got you doing something in an unusual manner, I mean excelling, the prophets of doom will be there. don't pay any attention. They may come to see you at the midnight hour. They come at night. Have you had anybody come to you at night? They're the worst prophets of doom there is. They come at night. They roost on the mountain of mountain, let's call this Mount Difficulty. That's the mountain that we're all climbing. And as you are journeying up over this Mount Difficulty, there's all sorts of maggoty vultures all along the way. And they'll be there saying things like this, "Hey, it's a dead issue, give up. How can God possibly help you now?" And I know I'm ministering to a lot of ministries out there because it seems like just every one of them is going through some kind of old thing. I mean, I tried to warn you in my last news release, my last dream. Pastors, have you ever had somebody call you up and they're always having a dream? And it seems like you're in it all the time. Some of them are good, though. I called up the, I think it was WCCO. And this girl answered, she says, "I had a dream the other night, and I was unloading fruit as fast as I could off of one of your trucks." I said, "Sister, I believe that's prophetic, and they should get down there and start unloading that fruit." There are people that do grab a hold of things like that. They just make a great big thing out of it, see, and they try to go, convert them into unloading fruit. And so all the time we see things like that, don't we? People are, "Oh, I had a dream." And some of the dreams are so, "Oh, man, they're nightmares. Don't tell me your nightmares. Don't call me with your nightmares." I don't know how many times people have seen me in a casket. They always say, "You look so natural." Thanks a lot. I saw you getting shot. I don't know. I says, "I don't know. Maybe I can interpret that you want to shoot me. I don't know. What does it mean?" But all the way along the way, you run into these prophets of doom. My last dream, or my last vision, or my last prophetic screech. You know when they screech in high C? And they say, "Thus saith the Lord," and they're screeching, and their veins are sticking out on their neck, and they just look like they have gone completely crazy. "Thus saith the Lord," and they just screeching and screaming, and oh my. Well, that's enough to scare anybody out of church. And I thought to myself, why is it so many people are continually seeing other people's walks and not their own? The Bible says, "See Jesus only." And so every, let's say, Columbus idea will have a few doom dummies aboard. Every Edison idea of invention will have the dark cloud gang hanging around. Everything that comes forth has to have an argument about it. And I believe this, that no man ever undertakes anything that is worthwhile without one of the prophets of doom doing their best to persuade them that it cannot succeed. And that's when you know you're right on. When everybody's saying, "It won't work." Jesus paid no attention. Save yourself. He paid no attention. He came to save the world. Save yourself. You can't even save yourself. He paid no attention. And so without the prophets of doom doing their best to persuade that he can't succeed. Wow, this is a big job. I'll bet if you knew this, before that you knew, Pastor Paul, what was going to happen, you never would have started this, would you? Well, I said, well, now you tell me. Would you in your own lives, you listening and you sitting here, if you knew everything that was going to happen in a 2 or 3 year period even, would you have the courage to go on? Think about 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. No, you never want to see yourself ahead of time. It's enough putting up with yourself the way you are right now, don't you see? Are you understanding this? You have enough trouble operating under the present pressure. You don't want to see what's going to happen up the line. See, because things happen in progression. Well, you mean they progressively get worse? Yes. I do mean that. You are in the world. You're not of it, but you're in it. And as you go on, God equips you, and you're built up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you get to know him through suffering. Well, isn't that what it's all about, to become Christ-like?
I don't know. I don't want to be like Christ.
No other way to go. I was on the scaffolding. I was up in here doing this decorative work up here. And this little guy comes in walking up here. Wow! You really bit off more than you could chew this time. I paid no attention. I just kept painting away. Yeah, looks like a big job. I said, boy, that's real. Well, I bet you. If you would have known, he would just kept right on talking. If you would have known it would be this big a job, would you have come in here? I kept right on painting. Then I wiped my hands like, is it Michelangelo? Is that it? Have I got it down? I guess, isn't that? Yeah. And I wiped my hands and I looked down upon this person from the 6 or 7 scaffolds up, and he's standing down in here, and I says, listen, I want you to go to the store and pick up 10 gallons of paint, 4 brushes, 4 rollers, some paint pans. Then stop on the way back, get me a Big Mac, a Coke, and some French fries. Huh? Now I had him on my side. And I also had him out of my way. Put people to work. Either they'll go to work or they'll go home, but they'll get out of your way. And so he went out and he was looking at, oh boy, what a mess you got yourself into. But now he had to change his little story. Well, what are you doing out here? Oh, I'm going to get some paint for Pastor Paul. I got to pick up 10 gallons of paint, 4 brushes, 4 rollers, paint pans, and I got to stop and get a Big Mac, a Coke, and some French fries. And I got to get right back. You ought to see what he's doing down there. He's way up in the air painting this. And see, now he had his. See, I think there's a whole lot of people that would love to become Christ-like, but then voices come in from the outside. Count the cost. You're laying your reputation on the line. Well, it wasn't that big a deal anyway. People are worried about their reputation. Look what they're doing to the poor president now. How'd you like to be in his shoes? How'd you like to be in Oral Roberts' shoes right now? And everybody's trying to prove that God didn't say something to him. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in that conversation, but I'd be a little bit leery of saying I knew anything. I mean, after all, there's a few decades of service involved there. Whew. God's watching, folks. God is watching. Oh, you'll have to quit so much. It isn't worth it. Turn back. Don't become a religious nut. You'll just end up bad news. Well, Jesus ended up bad news that turned into good news. That's what they said about him. Save yourself. It was nothing. But unto thee I commit my spirit, and graves opened up and everything cut loose. Well, now we have good news. But anyway, unreal comments will come from practical and sane folks that look upon Jesus as only a dreamer. And oh yes, people will point out legal groups of Christians that have fallen themselves, or one caught in an honest mistake. And we must learn then to pay no attention. Don't pay attention to everything you hear, and learn, study to be still. Shut up. Isn't that a hard one to shut up? Isn't that a hard one to be still? It's kind of like fasting. So hard to fast. The first 3 days, a guy asked me today, he said, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to lose weight. And I said, why don't you fast? Do it for something other than yourself. Well, how do you do it? I said, the first 3 days, you're just going to go crazy. You're going to want to eat. And then by the seventh day, your body will give up. It'll start eating those large amounts of fat that are hanging off your body. You'll go up to 14 days. You'll have no hunger. And all of a sudden, your body will give one more blast. Well, let's call out, food! And it'll just scream for food on the 14th day. Food! And it'll just scream out there. You might even get a little dizzy. It'll pull little tricks on you. You'll get dizzy and your legs will get a little shaky. That's your body putting on a little act, your flesh acting up. But after that, you will not be hungry again until probably 30 days, and then you start to get a hunger again. Some cases longer, and then he hungered. And I think it's the same way in keeping our mouth shut. We go on a word mouth fast where you just don't use your mouth. Well, don't use it for eating, then don't use it for talking. Wonder how many people would die if they could not talk for 30 days straight. Could not converse. Could not shout back. Could not say one derogatory statement, could not fight back. It can be done. It can be done.
There you have it. That was episode 253, part one, Attention. Be sure to listen to part two, the conclusion, on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.